Well, we're sure getting it. Change is good, isn't it? Very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. Most of us are familiar with Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, but we are not going there this morning. We're going to go to Mark chapter 16. And if you know the story, starts out in verse 1 of Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus. They went to the tomb, and they found the tomb was empty. And dropping down to verse 11, and when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked out into the country. And when they had went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11, as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See that word? Doesn't let us not tell anyone. God's word says we preach to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name, and they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. I'm going to ask Jason to come up. This is Jason Laird. He's supposed to have three more members of his family with him this morning. But we planned on a lot of food for the potluck afterwards, so he just gets to eat more. We love babies in this church, but his baby is homesick, and he didn't want to bring germs. But we're going to do a pop quiz. I want to see how much they remember from the last time you and your wife were here. Come on up. He might even be able to... I don't know if he remembers this pop quiz. How many of you know where Jason and Kathy are going and their children? They're going to take the kids with them. Togo, West Africa. How many of you know... can show me where Togo, West Africa is? That's Cameroon. Omashane thought he had it. Oh, show him, Omashane. That's Cameroon. That's not Togo. Where's Togo? Come on. Somebody's got to know where Togo's at. Togo's right here. Cameroon is right here. Togo's over here. Am I right?
Absolutely. And I can't tell you how many times I've used that to help people recognize where Togo is. Every time we come here, we're always learning something that we need to refine, change, improve. And that was one of the first things we picked up when we came here. It was a fantastic visual illustration that we have used many, many times. Well, Kathy is very sorry she could not be here this morning. She really wanted to come, and she sends her love and her greeting. She really loves to show off the kids, and they're the main attraction. We have to admit, and we have no problem with it. Except I woke up this morning, and I realized how much of a failure I am as a parent, because I don't even have pictures to show you of my kids. But they are a joy and a blessing. Matter of fact, last night I was talking with my family on Skype, and Seth, who's almost two, he after we had hung up from talking on Skype, he was walking around pointing at the computer, going da 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 da, you know, and then he realized I wasn't there talking to him anymore, so he dug through his toy bin and found his toy cell phone and was holding up his cell phone and talking to me as he walked around the house. But they are a joy. Seth is almost a two, and Elizabeth is I think right about 7 months. She's almost 7 months now, and Seth is a huge helper. The other day, Kathy wanted to go and put Elizabeth in her walker so she could, you know, get around and play and do different things rather than just laying on her back or sitting up. And so Seth walked over to her and he straddled her and he reached down and he grunted and he tried picking her up, but she just looked up at him and just laughed and smiled. She just laid there like a brick. They're very helpful and they're very good traveling. We will mention this a little bit later, but we do ask that you pray for them and their health. I'll share a little bit about this a little bit later, but a week from Tuesday we have to fly back east to do some training at ABWE, and so we're really praying that they'll get over this sickness as we need to go in the airplane, and you know how tight those are and how germs just have a tendency to flow. So we're praying for that. Well, last time we were here, we shared with you a lot about who we were and how God had worked in our lives. And today I would like to take a little bit of a different tack and share with you a little bit more about Togo and about the ministry that we are going to be involved in, and hopefully that will give you a better picture, a clearer picture, and a more specific picture of how you might pray for us or think of us when you do so, so that you would hopefully catch a little bit of the enthusiasm and the excitement of what God is leading us into. And then hopefully we'll show you some pictures, and I want to give you an update. It's been a couple of years since we've been here, and I just want to share with you the progress that God has accomplished in our support and some of the things that we've learned, and then I'd like to share with the remaining time a brief message from the Word, something that has been meaningful and challenging to us, and hopefully it will be an encouragement and a challenge to you as well. The thing I want to start off with, we're going to Togo, West Africa. We'll see if the range here is okay. I think it worked. Very good. ABWE entered Togo in 1974. And since 1974, there have been just a growth and a wealth of ministries that have begun, that have spawned in Togo. And they continue to grow, and it's a small little country, about the land mass size of West Virginia, which isn't all that large. It's a small country with about, I think the latest estimate is about 6.9 million people. So it's a pretty compact country, although you still have various remote elements of it. You have the capital, and then you have a variety of villages. There are somewhere roundabouts of 43 different tribal languages that are spoken, and there's many other tribes, many more tribes than that that exist in Togo. But I'd like to run through some of the ministries as we go through here. As we go through, aviation obviously is the ministry, the first one on the list, because it begins with A. We're going to go alphabetically through some of these ministries. But we are going with a missionary aviation emphasis. And as we go through this list of ministries, I just want you to imagine and let your mind just take in the various aspects of the ministries, and just be creative in your thinking about how you envision aviation impacting each of these ministries. We don't have an idea about how much God is going to use the airplane to minister. As before we have even arrived, God is already expanding the ministry beyond what we really can imagine. So we're going to be involved in an aviation ministry. The Blind Center. Now the Blind Center is called it's a school called the Village of Light. This was the first ministry that ABWE began in Togo, from what I understand, in 1974. And as in Togo, as in many countries, the blind are treated as outcasts. They're worthless. They're useless. They have no value. They cannot contribute to society in any way, and so they're pretty much left to fend for themselves, and typically that results in death. Well, ABWE came in and they began a blind school, and they began teaching and training those kids who were blind. And as it has begun to develop and begun to grow, and it still is functioning today, as I understand it, there actually have been the school has achieved government approval for education and diplomas, and it's recognized now by the government. And as I understand it, there are even a couple of graduates who are now working within the government in various capacities. So it's really exciting to see how God has helped change a perspective, the perspective of people. You know, when you minister to someone, how you view them impacts your attitude towards them, the amount of time you're willing to spend with them, and the quality of the message that you want to share with them. And so this has really helped change their perspective. So we've got also Christian school teacher training. Now, this is a developmental program that is writing and training teachers to present their material from a biblical and Christian standpoint. Now, oftentimes for us, we think of that in a Western mentality. But this is quite a challenge when you move it into the African context, from their worldview and their perspective, bringing the Bible into and a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview, into their educational system. And so this is a rewriting of the curriculum with that perspective, and then putting the teachers through a training process by which they learn to implement that into their teaching. We have church facilitation. Church facilitation, let's spend just a moment on this now, because I'll briefly mention it again a little bit later when we talk about aviation. But church facilitation is the ministry that comes alongside churches that exist and pastors that exist that are having difficulties for one capacity, for one reason or another. It could be internal struggles in the church. It could be a church that is stagnant and not growing, either spiritually or numerically. It could be just that they need further training and challenge. It could be that accountability that's needed. And so this ministry comes alongside those churches that exist and provides that encouragement and provides that that function for them. Now, there's also church resources. There's a printer that is printing material and resources for pastors to use, Bibles. There are tracts. There are training material that's being developed. Again, just think of the ways that we might be able to assist this. It won't require anything of us. As we go out to minister into a village, we will be enhancing the resource ministry in that we will be able to increase the spread of their ministry among different villages that they may not have worked or may not be working at any particular time. So this is a tremendous ministry. There's the community health evangelism ministry. This is one of the ways in which we will be able to use the airplane to assist the hospital. Community health evangelism is one of the areas that Sharon Raheely is over and coordinates, and they go out. I don't know if you've just received some of the one of her recent emails and the tremendous impact that this ministry has had. But we will be able to use the airplane to expand the reach of where they can go. Instead of being limited by traveling by vehicle, we will be able to transport them by air into villages and drop them off and let them do the ministry that God has led them to do. And we look forward to that, to enhancing that ministry as well. The guest house ministry. Now, this is a hospitality ministry. This is one of the ministries that Kathy really is looking forward to being involved in as the Lord allows and as our family grows. But there are a number of people, even though it's a small country, with the medical ministries that exist in Togo, there are always people coming through. And it's a tremendous hospitality ministry that Kathy would like to be involved in Togo. There's guest house in the south, and there's also guest house in the northern part of the country as well. And so depending on where we end up being based long-term, then hopefully she'll be able to be involved in that ministry. This is the Carolyn Kempton Memorial Hospital, Christian Memorial Hospital, is the hospital located in the southern part of the country. In a little bit, I'll show you an actual map of Togo. So you'll get an idea of where, when I say the southern part of the country, of where this is. It's in the southern part of the country. This is presently where the airplane is located, and this is where we will be, this is where we will spend the initial part of our time. Once we get to Togo and begin using the airplane, is at this hospital. A statistic that I was unaware of until a few months ago was brought to my attention by a short-term missionary who went over and worked in the hospital. And that statistic was that this is based on what this short-term missionary told me was that there were 40 church plants that could be directly related to the hospital ministry in the south. And from those 40 churches, there were also another 20 or 30 churches beyond that that those churches had planted. And so the impact of the hospital ministry directly on church planting is really quite amazing. And so we're excited about that prospect of how we would be able to help that. Ladies ministry that exists in Togo. As Kathy goes with me, as we go as a family, one of our objectives is to go as a family into the villages so that we may be able to impact families in the villages. The kids, we pray that God draws them to Himself and saves them so that they will be able to have an impact on the kids. Kathy will be able to have an impact on the women. And I will be able to have an impact on the men as we teach and as we train them and as we show them the love of Christ and the truth from God's Word. And that as a family, we will be able to function together in a way that sets a standard and that sets a model. And we pray that God would strengthen us so that we would be faithful to Him in that regard. In West African culture, again, it's a very polygamous society where men have many wives, and many of them there are vast age differences between the wives and the husband, and again, if you are not useful in the family, you are useless in society, and you are left to fend for yourself. So we really have a challenge just as a family going into these villages and setting a good biblical example of what God intends for the family and what God's design is for the family, and how important that is in developing and showing and pointing Christ to your children and to those around. So we'll be involved in a ladies' ministry. Kathy will be involved in ladies' ministry, but overall we'll be involved in family ministry. Then there's leadership training. This is the BATA stands for the Baptist Academy of Theology of Africa. And while this is designed to be a West African program, as I understand Togolese culture, the education system is free up through what we would say is the equivalent of an eighth grade education. After that, you have to pay. And so if you cannot afford it, then you drop out of school and you go and you function in society as an adult. And so many pastors find themselves in that situation, whether they were saved later in life or whether they were saved as kids. They may not have had the education or the finances to continue on in their education. And so their level of education is maybe only to an eighth grade level. So when the missionaries, when ABW began working, and other missionaries also, other organizations began working in Togo back in 1974, and whenever the others began working also, they developed Bible institutes which were geared to train these men in the Word, but it was at a level that they could understand and a level that they could engage in. And so now that we're 30, 40 years later, there's that desire to move them now beyond that initial Bible Institute level and provide for them opportunity to maybe get a high school degree, a college degree, and a seminary degree recognized by the government. So ABWE has been in the development stage of this school, and it's designed to be a West African ministry. Already, I believe the government of Ghana, which is just to the west of Togo, has approved this educational program and is recognizing its certificates and its diplomas that it's issued. The idea being that Ghana has approved it, Togo's going to want it because they don't want Ghana to have something that they don't have, and so we'll be able to spread throughout the West African region via that route. Well, what we will be able to do with the airplane, God gave me the opportunity to go to seminary so that I would be able to be better equipped and trained so that I would be able to teach as well. And so we'll be able to go into some of these villages and gather local pastors and be involved in this teaching and training as well. So we're really excited about the BATA program. Literacy and Bible translation. Again, this goes ties hand in hand with the printing of resources, but one of the ideas is to publish the scriptures, to translate and publish the scriptures in some of these tribal languages, and then using literacy, teaching literacy through those scriptures, through the Bible, so that as people begin to learn to read, they are learning to read the truth of God's Word, and that might impact their lives in a tremendous way, and it's a great ministry. The Northern Outreach Project. Now, a few years ago, in 2010, every 10 years, there's a group called Operation World that puts out a kind of a state of missions around the world. And in 2010, they came out with their assessment of West Africa. And now, Togo is just a small finger-like country, just like a pencil shape. So if you just imagine a pencil and you cut it in half, Across West Africa, if you took that area and you cut Togo in half and the rest of West Africa, it's what's been identified as the contested zone. In the northern parts of these countries, it has been basically nominally Muslim. There is a strong Muslim influence, but most of them are in name only. Most of them don't own a Quran. They don't understand what it is that they really believe. Well, that's changing. It is becoming fortified. They're pumping in other Islamic countries. They're pumping in money into these areas so that they become a lot stronger and a lot more militant in their belief system. And then the idea is that it'll push south and these countries will actually become a complete Islamic state. And that's the emphasis. So ABWE began a northern outreach project into the northern part of Togo to begin to reach out and help stem the tide of this influence. And so that is where so many of the missionaries picked up from the southern part of Togo and moved to the northern part and have begun ministering and learning the language in that area. From that, there is also, I'm just going to skip ahead, to the Wendell Kempton Memorial Hospital. That's the hospital that is being built in the north. The government of Togo asked ABWE to build a second hospital in the northern part of the country, and so that project has undergone. It's been a $5.5 million project that I believe the end of last year they completed the fundraising for, and I believe the goal is to begin operations and open the doors at the beginning of 2014, and so that is just a tremendous ministry that ABWE will be able to have. Radio ministry is something. There is a family on Prefield who are going to begin a radio ministry in Togo, and there's youth ministry as well. There's just so many various ministries out there, in many different countries of the world. If God has gifted you with a passion for anything, it can be used by God to serve Him in any way, whether it be here or whether it be in another country somewhere around the world. God wants to use hearts that are submitted to Him to share His gospel with others. This next little bit here, I just want to show you some pictures. There's not going to be any music background to it, but it'll just show you some elements of Togo. Really, we're focusing on two aspects of the Togolese here. One, the joyful nature of the Togolese people and how happy they truly are in their destitute condition, but also the color and the beauty from Togo as well. So this will just take a few minutes, and hopefully you'll enjoy seeing some of these pictures. Appreciate it as much as you may be able to. I just want to take a few minutes here and just review for you a little bit about what our ministry is. Kathy would like to be involved in the hospital business office. God had provided for her in an amazing way when we were in Washington State to provide her with some training by practical experience in an office environment in accounting, accounts payable in particular. So she'd like to be involved in the hospital ministry in the business office. That she could assist them. They're still doing everything, all their accounting and all their stuff on paper. And so there's a lot of tedious work that needs to be done, and if she can help in any way, she'd like to be involved in that. Again, the guest house I mentioned before, and then also in the Abata ministry, she'd like to be involved in helping promote and helping develop some of the literature to be involved in encouraging the West Africans to engage in these programs. And then as far as the aviation ministry is concerned, our primary responsibility or primary desire, our passion is to be involved in church planting, in church facilitation, and in assisting the medical ministry as well. Our desire is to be involved more so in the first two, because if I have to be exposed to blood and guts, somebody's going to have to fly me because I don't handle that stuff very well. But we will be involved in all three of those areas, and we're looking forward to what God's going to do. There's a picture of Togo. It's about 360 miles from north to south. It's only a couple miles at its narrowest, and it's not really that that wide at its widest as well. So it is more of a small country. The idea is that our aviation ministry will begin in Togo and minister in Togo, but will also extend and expand beyond Togo into West Africa. You see, just to the left there is Ghana. Ghana has Lake Volta, which is the world's largest man-made lake. It's 28 nautical miles from where the airplane is located in Togo. So in about 20 minutes, we could be from the Southern Hospital ministering to all those villages around the lake. We're just excited about what God's doing. There's three families, who, in ourselves included, who are getting very close to going to moving on to language and then to Togo. But even now, God is growing and building our team. As I understand it, there's a couple of families that are applying with ABWE for Togo Aviation, and one of those families is an experienced float plane pilot from Alaska. Now he'll have quite the he and his family have quite the shock going from Alaska to Togo, to Africa and the temperature and all that type of stuff. But it's just neat to see how God is building our team. Where we are, we have to raise $6,919, and I just want to thank you for your part in that, your faithfulness in supporting us so early on in the ministry throughout these couple of years and into the coming time. You have been such an encouragement to us, and God has done some amazing things. Just to give you that perspective, of the 86% that we have, 49% of that's coming from churches and 51% from individuals, which we just rejoice at, that God is bringing together what a strong and an amazing team. And I just want to share with you just testimony here about what God has done. As we've been going around in our pre-filled ministry, and we've been asking people to pray for us, and we've been asking people to for ideas and contacts that we could be brought in touch with so that we can present the ministry. And the Lord really, He worked in my heart a little bit, and He said, Jason, He says, you're asking all these people to pray, but how diligently are you praying for these people and for these contacts and for this support? And yes, we prayed for the support, and we trusted that it would have to come in from the Lord. But we began probably last September, really focusing this effort of prayer, and we asked our church in Madeira. We made up little cards of all the places that we had been and all the people that we had presented to, different things. We asked them to pray for some of these churches and for some of these individuals as well, and really. It's just a matter of God working in an amazing way that in the last 10 weeks, God has provided 35% of our support, and we're at 86%. I have some verbal commitments that takes us to 89%. We have a couple things in the works, and we're praying diligently now that the Lord will bring us to 100% somewhere by June or July, so that we can go to training and then head off to France for language school. In the end of August, and we're really just amazed at what God continues to do. Our outfit passage, we have to raise $45,000. We're at 91%, and we may be soon jumping up to 95%. I've had a couple people indicate their intention to give, and if they follow through with that, that'll take us to 95%. But I had somebody tell me just a couple weeks ago as well. They said, Jason, they said, if you get the 100% monthly support and you're not at 100% for outfit and passage, let me know what that amount is and I'll cover the rest of it. So God has provided really the rest of our outfit and passage, and we praise the Lord for that as well. I just want to, there's our goals. We did make the 85%. The deadline is tomorrow to actually reach that amount so that we can go back to ABWE for training. I mentioned we'll leave in a week from Tuesday to go back. We'll be back for about a month and a half going to training and then also presenting in a few churches back there as well. The reason why we're using the West Coast as our focus, and kind of in the Pennsylvania, North Carolina corridor as our secondary hub. That's where both of our families live. I was born and raised in Pennsylvania. My wife's family all now lives in North Carolina. And so we're trying to use these two areas as our main base. And so we hope to go to language school end of August, beginning of September. They tell us if we're average, which I hope we're at least average, that we will be able to learn it in 18 months. And so our goal then would be to go to Togo actually and begin the aviation ministry in January 2014. In the meantime, there are some things that we need to be doing as far as getting the airplane and getting other things ready for us to go. Namely, when we get there, we have to have fuel to start with. Well, we have to raise the funds to get the initial shipment of fuel over there, as well as to get an inventory of parts so when the airplane has a need, we'll be able to fix it immediately without waiting for a part to be shipped. And so we're looking about, we haven't finalized an initial startup cost fundraising goal yet, but it'll probably be in the roundabouts of $125,000 that we really need to raise before we can actually start using the airplane. And so we trust that the Lord will work and will bring that in as well. Current trends, I'm going to skip through these. These are just some things that we've noted as we've been going around to churches, the financial constraints. That's really had a positive effect on churches as far as their relationship to missionaries. There's a trend towards individual support. People, we've also noted, we're still geared in a short-term, immediate fix type culture, that they're more geared towards short-term than career missions. And then there's also a move towards geographical support, in that a church really won't let us even come in and present the ministry if we're not located within a 2 to 3 hour radius of the church and based there. So that's another trend that we've found. Just some prayer requests that I want to mention. Effective ministry in churches and with individuals, safety and travel, more churches and people, contacts that we could meet so that our support would get to 100%. And I just want to spend a minute here on this next one. Cohesion of our aviation team. We've been told by people who've been involved in aviation, missionary aviation, that missionary aviation ministry, such as the type that we are going to be involved in, they do not work. The missionaries end up not being able to work together because you have an airplane that you're sharing among many, many different passions. And so it usually ends up not working, and missionaries go different ways, and they all either get their own airplanes or they quit the aviation ministry altogether. And we're beginning to see this even as we develop and talk as a team, as we develop our philosophy, our policy, our goals, and various things of that nature. We're really excited about how God will bring us to a unity of mind and a unity of purpose. But we do need prayer in that regard. We also pray that God would continue to develop in us that passion and love for the Togolese people, as I mentioned, the salvation of our children, and also in the many preparations that we have to be involved in for our departure. We're not going to do Q&A. I just want to spend a few minutes here sharing from God's Word just a little bit of a challenge to you. I know I've gone through a lot of stuff, a lot of information this morning, and I hope that it gives you a little bit of a glimpse of what God is doing in Togo and the various ministries and how we might be a part of that and how you might be a part of that through us as you support us and as you uplift us before the Lord in prayer. As we've gone through this journey, many times, you know, I mentioned to you just a few minutes ago, in the last 10 weeks, God has provided 35% of our support. We've been doing this for over 2.5 years now, and in 10 weeks, we had 35%. That's 3.5% a week. Well, if God would have done that at the beginning, boy, we would have been already halfway through language school by now. As we've gone through this, there have been many times of discouragement. There's many times when you think, man, this is impossible. And I tell you what, a lot of people are big cheerleaders of the impossible. Because they look at this and say, Jason, you know, that's a lot of money. I don't make that much money, especially in this kind of economy. How in the world are you going to... And honestly, admittedly, it wasn't 2 weeks ago that I was sitting in my office and we'd been praying for this 85% by March 12th. And we'd been praying for it. We were at about 69% at that point a couple of weeks ago. And I was sitting in my office, and Pastor was sitting in the chair across from my desk. And I told him, I said, you know, I have to be honest with you. He said, I really don't think it's going to happen. How do you plan? How do you move forward? What do you do? And really, I had adopted that attitude of doubt and unbelief, lack of faith. I'd like to briefly share with you a study that I did in the Word on this subject. I've titled this "God, the Impossible, and Me: A Journey." Because as we go through life, life is a journey, and we face these obstacles, we face these hurdles that we don't know how in the world we're going to get over. And we say that we believe God can do all things, but then we act like it's not going to happen. Myself, I just told you, I did not believe we were going to get 85% in time. I was holding out hope, but I really didn't believe that was going to happen. Well, as I was beginning to think, how do you plan? How do you make goals? How do you set goals? When you have something that seems impossible, if you set a goal that impossible thing is going to be met, are you presuming upon God to do something? Well, how does that work with faith? And I wanted to know how all of these things work together. And so I began this study in Scripture on the impossible. Now, I'm sure each of you here this morning have something that you consider impossible. If you think through the past of your life, there have been things that you thought were impossible, and in fact they were. But if you also think there were items or situations that you thought were impossible that God has brought you through, and looking back you can think, God, what an amazing and mighty God we serve. When we think of God, the impossible in me, we first have to start off with in the center. Now we're gonna take the center, and then we're gonna move around very briefly. I only have a couple minutes, but I wanna go through this cycle with you and hopefully whet your appetite to study this further. But at the very core, at the very center, we have to understand what is God's character. This is the central component and the starting point. What do I believe about God? Everything a person does has at its base, at its foundation, their belief of God. Even somebody who denies God, that is the basis of how they act and how they respond to life situations. For me, for you, if you believe in God, everything you must do, everything you do must start with God. Everything you are must be derived from who God is. So what is God's character? This, when we think of the impossible, we have to recognize that it deals with God's power, His omnipotence. How powerful is God? Well, we can just to cut to the chase, God can do anything that is not contrary to His will. That's what God can do. And that's what God can't do. So He can't contradict Himself in any way. This is recognized by the name Almighty. And we sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee." Well, we proclaim God is Almighty, but are we living as God is Almighty? This is the basis. This is the core. This is the center. When we move from that, we next move into our consideration of the impossible. We have to move straight up and consider salvation. Consider salvation. If you know about salvation, in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews tells us that the Old Testament, the sacrifices, the system that they had there, that is in itself ineffectual. It is not able to accomplish salvation in a person's life. If it was, they wouldn't have to do it over and over and over and over again. Well, we know from what Scripture says that the that in Matthew, this account in Matthew, but also in Mark, we have the rich young ruler, and in that thinking, if a person was rich, if they were wealthy, if they were wise, if they had position, that was the sign that God had blessed them, that they must have been living in a way that was pleasing to God, and so God had blessed them. Well, that was a wrong idea. Well, the rich young ruler came to Jesus, and what did Jesus tell him? He said, you need to sell all your possessions and come follow me. And what did the guy do? He had trouble selling his possessions. And the disciples, they were a little confounded by this. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, they say, if this man can't be saved, who then can be saved? And how does Jesus respond? Jesus responds with God, all things are possible. And so we have to recognize, once we understand God's omnipotence, God's power, we have to recognize what it did in our salvation. Do you realize what you were saved from? Ephesians 2:1, I believe it is, says you were dead in your trespasses and sins. But now you are made alive in Christ. You have been saved. Now we look around at people in our families, at people we work with, at people in our neighborhoods, and we think, there's no way they could be saved. Look at how they live. I think we often forget the impossibility of our own salvation without Christ. We need to live recognizing that God has saved us. Well, after we make a decision for salvation, after you make any decision, naturally, what happens after a little while? You begin to think, did I make the right decision? Well, that happens with salvation a lot. After we're saved, we're excited, we're enthusiastic, but there's something that happens a little ways down the road, and a little doubt begins to creep in. Why do we doubt as individuals? In many cases, this is because we take our focus off of God and begin to put it back on ourselves and our circumstances and those things around us. We begin to doubt. When we look at doubt, we begin, our basis, our understanding about God begins to erode. I think of Moses. Moses, after God had done all the plagues in Egypt, after he brought them through the Red Sea, the people complained and they wanted food. And God gave them manna. And then they complained and they wanted meat. And Moses went to God and said, God, I'm tired of these people. I mean, where in the world are we going to get all the meat to feed these people? I mean, if we killed all the animals, it would feed everybody maybe once. And he didn't believe. He doubted what would happen. And in Numbers chapter 11, verse 23, it reads this, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen or not. Moses, after seeing all those great things, doubted. Now I believe doubt is a crucial point. So we have God's character, we have salvation, then we move. Oh, I got to go this way for you. Salvation, then we move to doubt. We move to doubt. Doubt is a crucial point. Either we push through doubt or we give in and we go back to the starting block. If we are able to push through that doubt and focus on God and allow God to work, we move on to a relationship with faith. Now, think with me about the disciples. Jesus and the three were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. The other disciples were down the mountain, and while they were down the mountain, a man brought his son to them who was demon-possessed. They tried casting out the demons, but were they able to? No, they were not able to. Jesus came down from the mountain. The man brought his son to Jesus. Jesus cast out the demons. Later on, in the house, the disciples came to Jesus. They said, why couldn't we cast out the demons? He had already given them authority to cast out the demons. And Jesus says to them that it was because of their littleness, the quality of their faith was insufficient to cast out a demon. And in Mark's account, that was Matthew's account, in Mark's account of the same situation, Jesus says, this kind of faith, the faith that you need for this, only can come by prayer. So we have a relationship between prayer and faith. So as we engage in prayer, then we move from doubt to a relationship to faith. We come now through prayer to the alignment of God's will. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he do? He prayed. And what did he pray? He said, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. So while faith increases and enhances our faith, it also brings us in alignment with God's will. And as we are brought into alignment with God's will, then we can move forward with confidence. We can move forward with confidence because we know that we serve the God who is all powerful, who has saved us, who has overcome any excuse or doubt or reasons we may doubt that something could be accomplished. And then we develop the faith, we grow in our faith, and then we are brought into alignment with what God desires. Do you ever think God fails in what he sets out to accomplish? Absolutely not. And so we can move forward with confidence. And Jonathan in 1 Samuel 14 is a great example of this. Again, there's just so much that we could develop on each one of these. But I just want to see, this is cyclical. This is something that we go through, and in one area of our life we may succeed, while in another area we're still struggling back on doubt. And so we have to go back in that area, and so we move through these cycles. But when we get through this process, understanding God's character, salvation, then we move through the doubt phase, we grow in our relationship to faith, we bring ourselves in alignment to God's will, we have confidence, and then we come to the completion, which brings us, in a sense, back to our salvation, in that we are made alive again in Christ from being dead in our trespasses and sins. We come to the impossible task of the resurrection, the impossible work of the resurrection. Such a theme of Peter and Paul throughout Scripture. And I dare challenge you this morning, are you looking forward to the resurrection? When Christ returns and we are raised together with Him, if we can't appreciate the impossibility of our salvation, we will never be able to appreciate and have true expectation of the return of Christ and the resurrection that we will experience with Him in Him. It's a tough area in our life. Philippians 1:6. I fail all the time in this area of the relationship between God, the impossible, and me. I look at myself, I look at the world around me, I look at my circumstances, and I say, that's impossible and it's not going to happen. And I have to go back and remember this cycle. And I have to go back and remember what Scripture says about the relationship between God, the impossible, and how He has brought me into it. And it's a journey of life. And I'm encouraged by Philippians 1:6 that says, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even though I fail along this cycle all the time, God is working in my life, He's working in your life, and He will work to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. The comfort that we have along this journey that we go through, along this cycle of the relationship between God, the impossible, and me, is that it is He that is doing the work in me. There's nothing that I can do in and of myself. But as I grow step by step in relationship with Him, then He makes the impossible possible. And I can please Him, and He can use me for His good pleasure. And that's our desire in Togo. That's our desire for you in this place, in the place that God has put you. that you will grow and that you will look to God, who is the doer of the impossible, and that you will rejoice with us just in the meager 35% that God brought our way in 10 weeks, to recognize that God can do much more great and amazing and mighty things than I could ever ask or imagine. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the ministry that you are leading us to, and thank you for these dear folks who faithfully pray for us. And Lord, I just pray now that that you might work in our hearts, that we might truly recognize who you are, and that we might live accordingly in expectation of what you will do, and in expectation of the eternity that we will be able to enjoy with you through your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.